Today's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to St. Mark, and we're going to be in chapter 16 of Mark's gospel today, verses 1 through 8. Listen and hear this Easter story afresh today. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away this stone from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for me, church? And I'll pray for you. Almighty God, in the beginning, your Spirit hovered over the darkness, over the chaos, and you overwhelmed the darkness with your light. And so it was in a tomb of death and darkness that your Spirit breathed new life into your Son, Jesus Christ. A tomb opened and new creation happened. And so for us today, Holy Spirit, hover over the darkness of our hearts. Shine light in every part of our minds and our bodies, every part of our will that has not bowed itself to the Lordship of Jesus. Shine in us that resurrection power that we might go forth as your people. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. So look into human history as far as you can see, and you'll notice this one horrifying fact, a common theme. Everything that dies stays dead. Everything that dies stays dead. I mean, we know that much for sure. And yet, y'all got all dressed up this morning and showed up to worship on Easter. Easter wants to clue us in that something's going on that's not readily available to our experience of the world. Easter tells us that there's more going on than meets the eye. At least that's what the New Testament authors want us to see. That while it was still dark, some grieving women showed up at the tomb. These women, at least in their expectations, these women aren't so different from you and I. They show up at a place of death, and what do they expect to find? Death. And yet these women see an odd sight, the stone rolled away. They hear the strangest sort of message. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." And the earth shakes. Not a literal earthquake, but reality as you've known it begins to crumble, because the world you knew was a world where dead things stay dead. And on this day you discover that death could not hold its prey, that someone, this Jesus, he got away. And if the Jesus story is true, if Easter is right, reality has fundamentally been altered. That's the claim that the church is making. That's the claim that the New Testament authors are making. Mark begins his gospel this way. He says, "In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ." Any good Jew who heard that beginning would have heard an echo of another book, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, when God created. And just in case we didn't pick up on this grand cosmic view of what's happening in Jesus Christ, John just goes out and overtly says it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Why is it that the gospel writers are trying to frame this very small, particular story of a Jew in Palestine in the first century named Jesus? Why do they frame this story within the context of the great creation story? First of all, they want us to clue us in that what's happening through the incarnation, death, and resurrection of Jesus is of cosmic importance. The claim is that through the Father's power in the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is changing everything. They do this, they frame it within the creation story because they know that we're naturally self-centered people. We'll take this grand story about God becoming flesh and dying on a cross and raising from the dead. We'll take that story and we'll pretend it's all about us. And so they frame it within the parameters of this cosmic event. They want us to see the big picture. They want us to see God reknitting the fabric of reality by framing the gospel story and creation story, though they do this other really cool thing. At least I think it's cool because I'm a nerd, so you guys get to hear me nerd out for a minute. What they're doing is undoing Eden's curse. The curse in Eden, you heard part of it read today. They're undoing, showing how Christ is undoing the fall. Paul says it twice, first in 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 5, for in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. The early church took to heart that through Jesus' passion and resurrection, everything is truly changed. And so we look at the parallels between the gospel story and the creation story. It begins creation right in a garden. That's the creation story in Eden, that place where human self-will, where human selfishness gets the best of it, and it begins the fall of humanity. And so where do the gospel writers say the passion of Jesus began? In a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a place where God's will triumphs over human selfishness and human self-centeredness. Not my will, but thy will be done, Jesus prays. The fall of humanity is being reversed through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus so that God might raise us up to a higher pitch of existence. No longer do we have to live under the tyranny of self-interest and self-indulgence. Now, through this act of God in Christ, we are able to live God-centered lives. We are able to let some faulty person like me, like you, become a conduit of God's grace and God's mercy through which the love of God can flow to others. Sticking with the garden, humanity's defeat. It happens in a garden. In John's gospel, Mary sees Jesus, doesn't she? She sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize Jesus. What does she think Jesus is? She thought he was a gardener. Mary says, I thought you were a gardener. This is John's way of telling us that Eden's garden of defeat must give way to the resurrection garden of victory. And so it was from a tree of good and evil where Satan got the best of us in Genesis, and a tree called Calvary where Satan's defeat is sealed. It was the woman, Eve, who came bringing the news of temptation to her husband, the Genesis story says. And so it had to be the women at the empty tomb who came and brought the good news of salvation to all. The story of Jesus is reversing the story of creation. In Genesis, it's thorns that's leveled against humanity. And thorns press in on the head of a kingly Jesus as he becomes for us a curse. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, Paul says. In Eden, we're told that an angel stands guard outside after they've been cast east of Eden so that they don't get to the tree of life. An angel stands guard protecting eternity from humanity. And at the empty tomb, there are angels, but they're no longer guarding. Instead, they're welcoming us into eternal life with God. Come and see, the tomb is empty, that death has been defeated. Genesis is a story of 7 days, and the gospel story, Christ's great victory, comes on the eighth day, the day of the Son, a first day of a new creation. Paul told us as much in 2 Corinthians 5, so if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is passing away, and behold, everything is new. Christ, a cross, resurrection, fundamentally changing reality. The old is gone, the new is here. And so the question that Easter is pressing in on us is this: Do I want to see me made new? Tomorrow, Tomorrow's Monday. Will I leave as if nothing else has changed, as if death still wins, as if hate and stupidity triumphed over love and life? Do I want to see me made new? The gospel writers who joined the ranks of many Christians who found a life worth dying for in the Christian faith, they framed the gospel story and the story, this great cosmic story of creation, because they sensed something like an earthquake. Sam Wells, a great British theologian, calls what happened at the resurrection a heaven quake. A heaven quake is when deep in the heart of the heavens, something shifts. Something shifts and the earth is never the same again. Reality changes, but we often miss it. Here comes the heaven quake. Listen, the old is passing away. The new is here. The stone is rolled away. Jesus, the crucified one, is on the loose. Watch the heaven quake and watch it roll the stone away from your past. Look at your past, your history. Yes, there's sadness back there. There's shattered dreams and broken hearts. Yes, there's missed opportunities and failed hopes. Yes, there's bitterness and there's resentment in your past. Old wounds and broken promises. There's hurts that you just can't seem to forget and blessings that you just can't remember. But the old is passing away. The stone is rolling from the tomb. Let the stone roll from the tomb that is your past, that keeps you frozen in fear and hate and indifference. Watch it roll. Right, let Easter do its work on you and ask yourself, do I want to see me made new? Watch the heaven quake roll away the stone that is your present. Yes, there's compromises here that you've made in the present. Yes, there's ways that you've sold out that would have horrified your younger idealistic self. Yes, there's ways that you've domesticated Jesus and kept the church and her teachings at arm's length. Yes, there's ways that we've perverted the faith to make it support our favorite ideology. We've turned Jesus into an idol. Yes, we've turned our dreams into busyness, and we've programmed our lives until there's no space left to imagine. Yes, you read the Beatitudes, and you don't recognize yourself in any of them. We count the fruit of the Spirit and realize that you haven't felt joy or peace or gentleness or kindness in years. Yes, your heart's dominated by fears about money, a divided nation, by the anxiety of your own mortality, or a sense of meaninglessness. But if Easter is right, creation changed. Let Easter do its work on you in your present and watch your present roll away with the stone that couldn't keep Jesus in, and ask yourself, do I want to see me made new? The tomb is empty. We knew a world where things that died, they stayed dead. But after Easter, anything is possible. Watch the heaven quake and watch it roll away the stone that is your future. You know the pain, the fear, the old dead ways of thinking and living, these habits that have just weighed you down for years. You know what's weighed you down for years. It's hard to imagine your future without this weight resting right here on your chest. Yes, you've always felt that others were closer to God than you. You've always feared that hope in God was a fantasy. Yes, you've always found prayer difficult. So has everyone else. Yes, you think the church is full of hypocrites that are worse off than yourself. You're probably right. Yes, you feel paralyzed in the face of trouble and injustice and ignorance in the world. You feel the weight of the expectations of your family and your culture. You feel that weight upon you as you look to the future. You also know truly, truly, about your lack of own energy and resources. And maybe today you're terrified to trust your body and soul into the everlasting arms of a crucified Savior. But friends, if Easter is right, then the train's left the station. The ship has sailed. Reality fundamentally changed when the stone rolled away and Jesus stepped forth clothed in glory. Watch the old fade away and the new come to life, and ask yourself, do I want to see me made new? Friends, the old is gone. The finality of death, the finality of death is over. The curse of Genesis lifted. The bondage of sin broken. All the hate that we could muster was poured out and absorbed into Christ's crucified body. And love won. Christ conquered. Watch the old pass away. Watch the stone roll away. Let it roll. Let it roll. Feel your heart burst with the wonder of resurrection. This is a heaven quake, the reality, the fabric of reality reknitting. Jesus is risen. The stone of death and grief, the stone of sin and control, the stone of fear and hate, they couldn't hold him captive. And your past and your present, they have rolled away with them. But the future. The future's open. So today the invitation is to step out of this tomb that you have made for yourself. Step out of this tomb into the fresh air of new creation with Jesus Christ. Since it is Easter and you got all dressed up, just imagine for a moment that the authors of the Gospels are right. If reality has fundamentally been changed through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if God did that, imagine what God might do with us when we submit our ways to God's way. Answer the question that Easter is asking. Do I want to see me made new? Only you can answer that.